Stephanie Miller. You're a rock star, get the show on, get paid. All that glitters is gold. Only shooting stars break the mold.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, hey, we're back on the radio. Hi.
Hiya.
Hi, we missed you.
We totally did.
We did. It was a fun first out of the gate,
though. Yeah, you missed
it. It's not the old lady from the Titanic. That is Bella. She's still 22. She's just been through a lot of stress this morning, so lay off.
My back.
We all have body issues. No, she has aging issues.
But your nails look amazing.
Yes. Yours are better. Okay. All right. I love this one. Counterpoint Politics says, imagine being J.D. Vance right now. You convert to a new religion. You meet the infallible holy head of that religion. He tells you what you're doing is so wrong that he feels the rare need to intervene. And then he immediately dies the next day. I believe religious people call this a sign. Yeah, it was another sign. That and the Delta flight.
Mm-hmm.
Only
to the left. To the left.
Yes. Like, what's what? Who foretold that? What singer am I thinking of?
To the left.
To the left.
Beyonce?
Is it Beyonce?
Yeah, right, right, right. That's what I meant. Another deity, Beyonce.
She
said
is.
There is only one way forward. That's to the left.
I think that was a Destiny's Child song, though.
It
might
have been.
It's still Beyonce.
It was
still Beyonce.
It was Beyonce. It was Kelly.
Was it
was, yeah, I
we
think
have
so.
It. Yeah, we have a bomb.
Yeah.
Oh, Kelly, too, right. Rowland, right?
Kelly Rowland.
Yeah, Rowland, right. See, I got that.
I wouldn't have gotten any of that.
There we go.
Yeah, Steve agrees with me. I don't know if J.D. Vance killed the Pope, but I think we should deport him to El Salvador just in case. I do, too. There's more evidence for that than there
is
for...
rendition him to
rendition.
El Salvador.
Yeah, it's a rendition.
There's no deportation.
These were the Delta flight attendants Miller. Yesterday. Think you could only Miller. Exit to the left.
Snuggle
that way is fire and fascism. Don't go that way. Go to the left. Okay. Hi.
Hi.
NPR was reporting yesterday that the White House has begun the search for a new Secretary of Defense to replace Pete Hegseth. Really? Yeah. They, of course, the White House is denying it, which you know what that means.
They're doing
three,
they're
two,
doing
one.
Yeah.
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 Oh, Pete Hegseth got snotty about it yesterday.
He did, too.
Wow. And did you see the children around? Oh, my God. Can I just say, Jody, is it possible that we as a country, we all took a bad acid tab. Did something get mixed in with our COVID medicine that I don't... Is it in? I don't... That whole Easter scene seem...
It was so weird.
Just surreal. Like, first of all, like, those kids, their faces were on camera next to... They're all like, Daddy's drunk again. It was that face, right? They just because he was going on and on.
Right.
Wait, but the Russia hoax, wasn't it?
Was it Hegseth or was it Trump that showed them the picture of Trump?
Yes, I got Trump shows children a card depicting the Butler assassination attempt today at the Easter egg roll.
With blood running down his face. He shows it to children.
Yeah, and then J.D. Vance is, it seemed like a drunken rant to me about the fake news or whatever in front of all these kids. They're just like, can we do the eggs?
You then hit me.
Ronald said, this whole 16-second scene is nuts. Trump talking about honoring Jesus very powerfully. Melania acting weird, bored, disgusted as usual. Trump saying he saved religion. And the bunny nodding along. And, of course, all televised by Lindell TV. Oh, my God. Did you see the scene with the bunny and the...
Sean Spicer in the outfit
Mike Lindell
again?
TV had an exclusive?
I don't know the whole thing. It is like watching a Fellini film on a bad acid trip, is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay. And Trump called called them the Houthis in Yemen.
The Houthis, yeah. The Houthis. We're the blowfish.
Art said, right. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if he thinks they're the band. Yeah, you asked the Houthis, and we took out them and a few blowfish in Yemen. Ask them. Mm-hmm. Today, he's also whining about crayons and screeching about the fake news media. Two little kids. His brain is mashed potatoes. We are
what,
so
what about crayons? Why is he whining about crayons?
I don't know. It was, of a whole, like, 10 years of weirdness, Jody, that whole scene yesterday, I swear to God, Pete Hegseth looked hammered. Kids all look like they're just, Trump's holding up bloody pictures, the bunny's nodding. Maybe we're going to wake up from this.
Ooh, I hope
Wouldn't
so.
Wouldn't that be fun?
And then we're all home and Toto's back?
Yeah, and you were there, and
you were there.
29 minutes after the hour.
It is way past time that Hegseth should either quit or be fired. And I think the question is going to be, well, will my Republican Senate friends, who I know care about our national security, how many more examples of chaos at the Pentagon before they will find their voice and be willing to step up and speak out on the fact that this guy should no longer be Secretary of Defense?
Yeah. Thank you, Mark Warner. This party, man, I mean, as everybody keeps saying, they own this, everything. Own Great Depression, we're like easing into. They could stop this at any time.
Any minute.
This tariff madness is obviously a disaster. Mm-hmm. But they won't, and same thing with, like, they don't know national security is at risk. I haven't even had time to read this yet, Chris.
Oh.
Pete Hegseth shared with wife and brother came from top general's secure messages.
Yeah.
I mean, we are not Boo-Boo the Fool up here. You can't go, nothing classified.
Right.
Really? War plans in advance?
That was information that was shared with Hegseth in a skiff, and he took it out of that skiff and shared it with his wife on Signal.
That's insanity.
That is irresponsible to its core.
That's illegal.
Chris,
yes.
Who said in 2016 of Hillary Clinton's use of a private email server, any security professional, military, government, or otherwise would be fired on the spot and criminally prosecuted for being so reckless with this kind of information?
Mr. Spacely.
No! That was
Snagglepuss?
Pre-first rehab, Drunky McRapey, Pete Hegseth, back on Fox News, back in... That seemed like a serious matter back then.
Oh,
buddy.
Yeah. He was still a white nationalist back then.
I mean, do people understand? You know who's the most pissed? The military. That's why people are chatting. Pilots, because these aren't drones. These are pilots. Mm-hmm. These are flight paths of our pilots that are being leaked in the middle, before or in the middle of an actual operation. It's like they think we're all stupid. Like, we don't know that's a huge national security threat.
Yeah, somebody memed that if he worked for KFC and let out the ingredients for KFC, he'd be fired on the spot.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, David said if James Comey had found war plans on Hillary's emails, she would have been indicted.
Absolutely, he should be.
I mean, again, this isn't just fired, it's indicted.
No, this
and
is
I
illegal.
I wondered, Chris, yesterday when you sent the story about, oh, there's somebody from the Pentagon saying there's going to be more bombshells.
Uh-huh.
Here we go.
Yep.
Here we go. Yeah, what did they say? I was like, really? It gets worse? Then
how can it get worse?
Two signal chats.
Okay. It got worse this morning.
There it is. Hold, please. Hang on.
Need some help?
Oh, no. Okay. Nobody help me.
She has this weird system over there. I don't understand
it. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
You know, calling it a system is really...
That's generous.
Yeah.
Okay.
She has a way of doing things.
Right.
That makes no sense to me.
Is there anything I can do to help?
The other thing is they keep saying, anonymous sources, you know, blah, 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 when he was drunkenly stumbling around the Easter egg roll.
Mm-hmm.
These are good friends of his
right.
that he and Trump hired, mm-hmm. and they're not anonymous. The guy wrote an op-ed.
Mm-hmm.
He was the top Pentagon spokesperson. Mm-hmm. This isn't an anonymous source. Hold, please. Yes, top Pentagon spokesman quits, then drops bombshell warning about Pete Hegseth. His name is John Uliot.
Easy for you to say.
Uvula? Uvula?
Yes, John Uvula. So, resigned last week as chief Pentagon spokesman, predicted Pete Hegseth will soon be out of a job. He warned that even more bombshell stories about Hegseth and the Defense Department are about to drop. He said it's been a month of total chaos at the Pentagon, from leaks of sensitive operational plans to mass firings. The dysfunction is now a major distraction for the president. For the president who deserves better. No, he doesn't.
No, he doesn't.
He deserves exactly what he got, which is this. Yeah. Which is this. The building is in disarray, he wrote, under Hegseth's leadership. It's total chaos. The month from hell, he called it. He said he's a strong backer. He had called himself a strong backer of Hegseth, but said the Pentagon is in a full-blown meltdown. Trump has a strong record of holding his top officials to account. No, he doesn't. Not until they get caught. Given that, it's hard to see Hegseth remaining in his role for much longer. There are likely more shoes to drop in short order and even bigger bombshell stories coming this week.
You know who doesn't like chaos? The military.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not
they
so much
like
an
order.
Improv. They don't like to improv. It's not really yes and.
They're right.
Yes, bomb the Houthis and. Now I'm saying Houthis.
Houthis, yeah.
Houthis. Take out the blowfish, too. I don't like the blowfish. Never did.
Well, blowfish could kill you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
White House denied the NPR report that they're in the process of replacing
Pete. Of course they did.
And someone said when Pete Hegseth sobers up, and he's going to realize he was Secretary of Defense for a minute. He's going to be like, I was what?
And now I'm out of a Fox job.
Who did that? I mean, I've done some dumb stuff drunk, but somebody made me, huh? Yes, they reported they've begun the process looking for a new Secretary of Defense, according to a U.S. official who was not authorized to speak publicly. Of course, Barbie, Caroline Leavitt.
Uh-huh.
She said it's not true, so that's how you know.
Oh,
it's
okay. Oh yeah, well, absolutely.
Nothing more to see here.
Well, Caroline, she wears a cross.
Caroline Leavitt.
Hey, girl.
Okay.
Hey. The president stands strongly behind Secretary Hegseth, who is doing a phenomenal job leading the Pentagon. And this is what happens when the entire Pentagon is working against you and working against the monumental change that you are trying to implement. Secretary Hegseth was nominated for this position because he is standing up for the war fighter, the men and women in uniform who are putting their lives on the line to protect our country and our homeland.
Mm-mm. No. And we've always been at war with East Asia.
Yes, and Pete Hegseth. And his angry inch, as we call his penis. Okay. Is this his drunken rambling at the...
He's so mad.
Wow, he is an angry drunk, can
he
I
is.
Just say?
Yeah, he
wow,
is.
Wow, we... Okay.
You know, what a big surprise that a bunch of... a few leakers get fired and suddenly a bunch of hit pieces come out from the same media that peddled the Russia hoax. Won't get back their Pulitzers. They got Pulitzers for a bunch of lies.
No.
Pulitzers for a bunch of lies.
No.
And on hoaxes, and time and time again. And as they peddle those lies, no one ever calls them on it.
He's the guy in that airport bar at like 7 a.m.
Yeah.
You're just like, oh, shut
hoaxes.
Up. I haven't even had my coffee yet.
They're all hoaxes.
And then the kid next to him said,
"Help me."
Okay. Daddy's drunk again.
Did you hear that discordant trumpet in the background too?
Yes.
Like it couldn't carry a tune.
I'm telling you, this scene was like a bad acid trip at the White House yesterday. Okay.
This is what the media does. They take anonymous sources from disgruntled former employees, and then they try to slash and burn people and ruin their reputations. Not going to work with me.
No.
Because we're
changing
the Defense Department.
Oh.
Putting the Pentagon back in the hands of warfighters.
No.
And anonymous smears from disgruntled former employees on old news doesn't matter.
It's not old news, buddy.
All I could hear was the trumpet.
I know.
Sorry.
He just throws up in the tuba.
Yeah.
Okay.
The tuba?
And the trombone?
I bet you he's thrown up in a tuba before. I just
Hegseth?
Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You want Carlson?
Oh, yes. Oh, I'm sorry. This is the Republican congressperson from Florida.
Yes.
Is this chat prior to the one that was leaked out? Or did he continue to use the signal chat, you know, group after that happened? And so I'm not sure the timing of it was. If it was something that he did prior to, okay, he should have learned his lesson now with what happened with the Mike Waltz incident. But if he did it afterwards, yeah, I would have concerns because, you know, you've already been burned by it once. I don't think you need to get burned by it twice. I think you should learn from your mistakes.
Is that the new bar? Like, as long as you only leak classified war plans
once.
Mid-operation once, then it's okay?
Yeah, you should learn your lesson, Stephanie.
So it matters what order it was in?
Yes.
That is important to Republicans. If this second signal chat did occur after the controversy of the first signal chat,
doesn't matter to me.
Then many more Republicans are going to get
like,
on board.
Yeah, it was in the same time frame, right? It was the same information about the same strike. Like, it just sounds like, honestly, like drunken bragging.
Yes.
Like, you just...
Look what I can do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
With the demoticons and the...
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. Eggplant splash.
See, okay. I'm even... See, I can keep quiet about what's going to happen on Palm Royale next season.
Yeah,
what's
but
happening?
You know.
What? Oh my God, I just finished watching Younger on Netflix with my tiny baby nephew's in that. He's everywhere.
He's 50.
He's
not a tiny baby.
He's 54.
Nephew. He's 54.
And he's tall.
Yes.
He's also tall.
Oh my God, he's fantastic in this series. He's just because I was so proud of him from The Residence, the new Shonda Rhimes Netflix. And then he's in Younger. He plays the gambling addict cheating ex-husband. He's fantastic. All right, I'm just saying. He has one scene where he's bleeding at his daughter's Vassar. Thing and he's trying some new whitening, you know, teeth whitening.
Oh,
that he's trying to sell his business plan to the billionaire. So he plays like a grifter, bleeding teeth. All right. Anyway, just watch it. Let's go to Seth, our homo of hope. Hello, Seth. Hi, Seth.
Good morning, homos, and Jody on the show, and Bella with a Z. And I think after this morning's stress, she aged so much, she might be Bella with a Y.
Yeah. She's several generations older now. She's not even Gen Z anymore.
Yeah. So with Charlie last week, you guys were trying to figure out how did she get that name, and I just wanted to clear that up. I was referring to Bella as someone being young, and Stephanie, you said she's a zygote, so I jumped in, oh, Bella with a Z, and of course, Jody on the show was right on the money with the Liza with the Z. It's easy, it's beezy. So that's the story of how
Bella became
Bella.
Okay, you're turning all Chris Farley recounting every word of every show we've ever done back to us.
But I did want to say, well, Christy Gnome, security, obviously not her thing.
No.
So for 2026, here's what has to happen. Democrats need to start not only calling it like the Trump economy or the Trump human rights violations and everything else, they have to start naming Republicans because they have to start attaching this to every Republican because people aren't in their politics is local. People aren't going to connect the dots. So I think the Democrats have to be very, very specific about attaching the names of everybody who they're running against to what's going on now, because they're all complicit. Yeah. They're all silent. They're all supporting it. And it has to be on their name as well.
Yeah.
And
the video Nancy Mace posted, like she's proud of it.
That was so
like,
weird.
They're just leaning into their crazy and their meanness. And like, they think that's something to be proud of, is bullying a constituent and saying the F-bombs, you know, 75 times. And she totally provoked him.
She did.
It looked like to get the video.
Yeah.
You're like, what? Okay. All right. Yes, Johnny says a thief stole Christy Gnome's driver's license, medication keys, passport, security badge, makeup bag, blank checks, and $3,000 in cash. Basically, she has no ID to prove she's an American citizen. Deport her.
I agree.
Just to be safe. Just to be...
No, rendition her.
You cannot write this stuff. Her Homeland Security badge was in there. Mm-hmm. Like, and she's under Secret Service protection.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently they saw the guy. It's a white guy, by the way. Mm-hmm. So... they saw on video the white guy stealing her. How does that happen?
How did she not know?
Well, exactly.
How did she not keep a closer eye on her purse when she knew that she had $3,000 in cash in it?
Well, in her security badge. That's super important.
And she seemed, that just smells like flight risk all over to me. Who carries a checkbook, by the way?
I haven't in years.
I have a checkbook, but...
I have one, but who uses
but
it?
I use it maybe once a year now.
No, I use it.
Who has 3,000 large for... She said it was for Easter gifts?
Easter gifts and food.
Is she buying blow for her entire family and friends? Just speculating. I mean, what cost $3,000?
What else do you use cash for?
Drug dealers.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right. I'm just saying. Okay. Dems might tweeted, "You who could have guessed that putting together a team with a convicted felon, an alcoholic, a guy missing part of his brain, and a ketamine abuser would lead to endless chaos and unrest." Hey. Did not see this coming, Joey. Just really. Daily Coast said J.D. Vance met the Pope. Hours later, the Pope died after dragging him for perverting Christianity to justify cruelty to immigrants. You know what? He's like, you know what? I'm about done, but hang on. Is that douchebag here? You got to love him, don't you?
Mm.
Robert Reich said the White House Easter egg roll is sponsored by Amazon, Google, and Meta, who are all being sued by the federal government for antitrust violations. It's the first time the event has had corporate sponsors. Everything is for sale under Trump, and big tech wants to cash in. Thank you. Just like Jesus would do. Weren't those his last words on the cross? Do we have sponsors?
Yes.
Who's sponsoring the
I seem to recall
crucifixion?
That in Sunday school.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, you went to Sunday. Well, I went to full-time.
Yeah, I only went to Sunday school and just till my first communion, and that was it.
Okay.
Dolly Madison Bakery's always sponsored, like, the Easter peanuts special.
Oh, I thought you meant Ashley Madison, which would have been
different. That would be more RFK Jr.
Dolly Madison made zingers.
Yes, they did. I love those.
Well, I did, too.
Ashley Madison does, too.
Yes, Ashley Madison does make zingers.
That's not the way I'm
RFK Jr. might know a thing or two about that.
Yeah.
Might being the operative word.
All right, yep. 48. That's what radio is for. Mindless speculation.
Well, that's
3 hours.
We do.
What else can we do?
Well, as long as we say alleged.
Right. Or might or alleged. Could or whatever. We don't know.
Yeah. All right, 56 minutes after the hour. Oh, we have a kick. Can I just nominate someone for, you know.
Defending our nation from the clutches of fascist idiocracy, we proudly present Heroes of Democracy.
Larry David, come on down.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did you see?
That was fantastic.
Oh, my God. The best trolling, of the best burn of Bill Maher ever. He wrote a piece called My Dinner with Adolf. Mm-hmm. About his dinner with Adolf Hitler, and it is so. It's Daily Beast says Larry David's scathing satirical essay parallels the way Bill Maher spoke about his recent dinner with Trump, beat for beat.
For Bill to complain on Friday.
Oh God, whiny, whiny, whiny. Why did he be picking on me? Oh, by the way, speaking of the plight of rich white men.
Oh.
Did you hear Elon Musk is thinking about quitting because
quitting the White House?
He doesn't like the way the left is attacking him.
Oh.
Cry more.
All he had to do was not do what
your
he's
feelings.
Doing.
Your feelings. Pardon me?
All he had to do was not do what he's doing.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah, just all he had to do was be normal. But that's really tough for some people. So,
Pete in Wisconsin. Hi, Pete.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Good morning, everyone.
So, I'm here to stir the pot a little bit this morning. So, here we go. So, we have this thing in this country called due process, and I would dearly love to keep this. Mm-hmm. And I am really getting kind of afeard of all these youngsters talking about sharpening guillotines and feeling French. So how about this? How about May 5th national strike? This is what I got. We have to protect this country, and let's do it with some good trouble and nonviolent trouble. Sit home, withhold our labor for a day. Let these billionaires feel the pain of us not being out there on the job for one day, May 5th, Cinco de Mayo. Have a
all
couple
right.
cervezas, have some beers.
All right.
Oh. And
a Wisconsin solution always includes beer in my
sure.
In my experience. And cheese curds.
Right.
Okay. Right back.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
So I wanna say thank you, cause it makes me that much stronger. Makes me work a little bit harder. Makes me that much wiser. Thanks for making me fighter.
I am one of many fighting for the rule of law and fighting to ensure that everybody in this country have due process. I am one of many. I'm not the first member of Congress here, and I'm sure as hell not going to be the last. This isn't about Maxwell Frost. This is about preventing our country from losing what makes it exceptional, that no matter who you are, when you are in the United States, you have due process. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Maxwell Frost and a couple other Dems went down to El Salvador.
That's
good
right.
for them. They took up the baton from Senator Van Hollen. Maxwell Frost, one of our baby youngins.
He is.
Here he is.
I still hold that the Supreme Court is very much skewed to the right and that there is corruption on the court. I do hold that today. But the fact that the court is so skewed to the right, and even then, they're still saying a complete decision, unanimous decision, that he needs to be brought home, shows that this shouldn't be a partisan issue.
Yeah. So good for them. I think, you know, so here's the thing. Everybody's talking about what David Hogg is doing, who's the vice DNC chair. And I have to say, I don't disagree with his. We do want people to fight,
yes.
whether
Absolutely.
It's Van Hollen or Maxwell Frost going down there, Bernie AOC having the town halls, Tim Walz going out and doing town halls. I'm a little on the fence about the way he's doing it. You know, funny, Michael Steele was like all for it this weekend on TV, and Simone Sanders is like, oh, you would have loved that when you were RNC chair, wouldn't you, if your vice chair was doing something that you didn't agree with, right? He's talking about primarying. I mean, the problem is it feels ageist, and I don't think it's about age, because if you mention Bernie, you talk
right.
about
Elizabeth Warren.
Elizabeth Warren, but also like Maxine Waters is one of our most amazing fighters. I don't think it's about age. I think it is about messaging. So here's David Hogg talking about this.
The fact of the matter is right now, if you look at where we are on the generic Democratic ballot, if we had the midterms today, we're most likely not going to win the House back. Our approvals are not very good right now. They're at about 27% for our party. And the fact of the matter is we have to make sure that it's not just a messaging problem.
So it went on to say,
sometimes you can have the best script ever. You could have Shakespeare write the script for all I care. It doesn't matter if you don't have good actors, ultimately. And what we're seeing around the country right now is our base, we're failing to meet the moment. A lot of our members of Congress are failing to meet the moment, frankly. And we need to make sure that they know that they're going to be held accountable. And we're going to have primary challenges in our safe seats where we have members of Congress who, when they're not being effective or they're not able to meet this moment, that they know that there's a young person who is willing to challenge them and there are resources behind them.
But again, Jody, it's not always about age.
No.
That's what feels ageist to me, is saying we're going to just get a younger person. And
he also did say safe seats, so they don't want to primary somebody that's not, that seat is not safe, which is smart.
Yes.
Yeah. I just don't want to form this circular firing squad again, because I think, again, I get the point of what, I mean, I think we mostly agree. That's why we keep responding to the Jasmine Crocketts and the people that
some members of Congress do need a fire lit under them.
Right. I mean, in Schumer's case, yes, he happens to be old, and I think he's not very effective at messaging, and he's not.
I think that's what David is talking about. He doesn't want to get rid of the effective people. He wants to get rid of the ineffective people.
Yeah.
And I totally agree with that.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. I think people are sparking to the people that are meeting this moment.
Well, AOC beat an incumbent, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, she did. So, it's just anyway. Speaking of, by the way, where all the cool kids are going to be, it's this Saturday, not the White House Correspondents' Dinner. What, would you look at this lineup, Chris Lavoie? I mean, it's not the White House Correspondents' Dinner. For Americans who aren't afraid of comedians or facts, Elaine Boozler, Alonzo Bowden, Stephanie Miller.
What?
Trey Crowder, the liberal redneck, Glenn Kirshner, Allison Gill, Frangela, Brooklyn Dad Defiant.
Whoa.
Dean Obadala, JoJo from Jurors, Brian Karam, Frank Conniff. I mean, Hal Sparks, on and all the sexy liberals and friends.
TV's Frank?
Pardon me?
TV's
Frank. Exactly.
Wow.
All right. So anyway, join us. How do you do the thing? It's...
Just go to the pay-per-view section of politicalvoicesnetwork.com.
Okay. And stephaniemiller.com has a link as well. It's
links.
Only, what is it? Like $20, $20.26. Get it for 2026? Get it?
Yeah.
It's going to be hilarious.
It's going to be amazing.
All right. You know what? I'm playing. Yesterday we did. I played Marjorie Taylor Greene. Today I'm doing a Kristi Noem, and then Nancy Mace and Laura Loomer do some crazy.
Right.
And there's just too many right wing crazy bitches for me to play all of them in one show.
Is this more Circus of the Stars or Night of a Thousand Stars?
Something like that, or something
Circus
on
of
something
a thousand
on ice.
Stars.
Okay.
Something on ice.
On
ice.
Exactly.
What was Battle of the Network Stars?
That's there it. Battle of the Network Stars.
Yeah. Oh, we should beat each other with giant tampons like they used to in it. Oh no, that was American Gladiator.
Yeah.
Okay.
Howard Cosell hosted Battle of the Network Stars.
Yes, he did.
All right. Would you like an uplifting letter? I think we could use a happy clappy uplifting letter, don't you?
I'm still bracing myself. What's going on?
David in Alabama.
Okay.
This is something to make us smile. Okay. Hey, Mama.
Alabama.
Yes. Thank you, Forrest. I just thought I would pass along the story from my little Alabama town. I was leaving the grocery store parking lot earlier today, noticed a family parking nearby, a dad, a mom, I assume, a couple of kids around 12 years old. To say the dad was a big beefy dude would be putting it mildly. Something tells me even Chris would be impressed. Ooh. As I drove by them a few seconds later, I noticed...
Beefy has many meanings.
Sounds like muscly.
Okay. All right.
As I drove by them a few seconds later, I noticed what it said on his black tank top. It said, "Don't mess with my transgender kid."
Oh.
To reiterate, this happened in South Alabama, where there are more churches than people, and still this man was making it known he loved and supported his trans child. The right can keep trying to bang this drum, but if what I saw today was any indication, they're losing.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. That is an uplift. Would you like to talk about the eaglets? Because that's another uplifting
story. Oh, Sonny and Gizmo. Gizmo's so cute. He's a little few days younger. You got
their little clown feet.
Fluffy baby fur. It's the eaglets in Big Bear.
Do they have their bald heads yet?
No.
No?
They're still dark.
No. Okay. Yeah. Would you like the update, the eaglet fun
sure.
facts?
Sure.
So
Jackie and Shadow are the mom and dad. This is in Big Bear. I just feel like there are signs for America from all these stories. I'm just saying the fact that bald eagles have survived... I think we're going to be okay, America. Big Bear's famous bald eagle chicks are getting closer to leaving the nest.
Oh.
Sonny, who was known as Chick 2, is about 6 weeks old. The younger sibling, Gizmo, is just a few days behind.
Right.
The chicks have largely moved past their sibling rivalry, otherwise known as bonking.
Yeah, they bonked,
yeah,
their heads.
Yeah, they bonked their heads. It's really cute.
It's that, adorable.
To establish dominance.
Yes.
That is so adorable. Uh-huh. In Three
like
Stooges.
Like pecking order.
Three,
yeah.
Stooges.
Yeah, like a pecking,
yeah,
order.
Why? Exactly. I just want them to do like this with their... Why?
With one of their wings?
Yeah. Okay, they now prefer to cooperate and cuddle up
they
next
do.
To each other.
It's so cute.
Aw, in the roughly 6-foot-wide nest. Sonny has started standing up in the nest and trying to take bits of fish from their parents on his own. Mm-hmm. Gizmo, on the other hand, still seems content getting fed by Jackie and Shadow.
Okay.
Sonny has a few times claimed the fish when Shadow brought it in and put his foot on it or said, you know, this is mine. Oh.
Oh, yeah.
They're in their teen. This is the teen phase already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not the boss of me.
They've passed the terrible twos already.
The eaglets, yeah, have also started stretching their wings, smacking the rest of their, yes, feathered family with, yeah, practice wing
they
slaps.
They do it all the time.
Yeah, those are, that, oh, that's a teen.
Yeah, they're going to Menendez those parents, I'm just telling you.
They also poop.
They're getting ready.
I watched, I think it was Sonny pooped directly into his mother's face. The
okay,
other,
yeah, her, this is the teen years. And they're about to kill them.
That's a sign of love.
Yeah, they're, no, they're about to kill them. Yeah. The next major milestone will be when Sonny and Gizmo start eating on their own. Mm-hmm. The eaglets are each about 4.5 feet tall. Wow. But they're expected to roughly double in size. That's how big the eagles
they're
are?
Huge. Mm-hmm.
That's huge.
They are,
yeah,
huge.
Yes. The eagles are very big.
Until they're as tall as their parents, which is when they are going to clearly kill them.
I don't think
when
they
Sonny
will.
When Sonny and Gizmo. Really? Yeah, it's called, what is it called? Wing slaps. Okay. Give me that.
Mom and Dad can fly away right now.
When Sonny and Gizmo feel comfortable feeding on their own, on their parents.
They're not cannibals.
About 2 months of parental guidance, they'll take off to see the world. Southern California fledglings have been seen as far as Yellowstone,
wow,
and as far north as British Columbia.
Wow.
Oh, they don't. Canada won't take us anymore.
That's
right,
true. They'll
blow
them
right out of the sky.
Turn them around like the German tourists in Hawaii,
yeah,
that were turned around.
Yeah. All right. Okay. We're just saying, when can we have a ceremony? Can we go to Big Bear when they flee the nest, and we'll bring the mini band, you know, the mini eagles,
yeah,
that we put together.
Sure.
Yeah.
Playing at some bar in Big Bear.
Thank you. Get it? Mini eagles.
Got it.
Yeah. The eagles.
Yeah,
that's what the band is.
You've been milking that joke for...
Oh, God, I enjoy me. Okay. Chris, who said, while I agree about the strength of American democracy, don't take it for granted they will try to control the election process in 2026. There's one question many Americans are afraid to ask. Do you believe Pam Bondi and Kash Patel will follow unconstitutional Trump orders? Who said that?
Mr. Slate.
No, oh, no. That was Garry Kasparov, who might know a thing or two.
About a thing or two.
Yeah, about a thing or two.
Probably said it in a Russian accent.
Probably.
So Chris Titus has been all over this. I'm dying to get him on. He said there were about 70. This is one of the things we keep talking about, Jody, that just how can you not have some suspicion? There were around 70 bomb threats called in on Election Day. 56 were in 11 counties that voted for Biden in 2020, including the 8 most populated. Those high population Democratic counties include voting locations for Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Detroit, Michigan, Phoenix, Arizona, Atlanta, Georgia, and Philadelphia. Do you really think a bunch of random people called in bomb threats on their own, just in the swing states? Yeah, this sounds legit. Mm-hmm. They were connected to Russia.
Yes, they were.
We found that out. And so now, you know, Jody, with this story, which should be a bigger story, I get the news cycles are relentless, but that, you know, Doge was involved with, you know, sending data directly to Russia. Mm-hmm. So how can you not go, oh, Elon Musk Putin are interfering in democracies around the world. Do you really think they didn't here? We just don't know to what degree and
exactly.
To an illegal degree mm-hmm. or not. So anyway, blah, blah, blah. By the way, our friend Senator Whitehouse, he's funny. No
yes,
wonder he came on
him.
Our show. He said Republican senators who carried Trump's water to confirm Secretary Hair Gel
That's awesome.
Must be loving all this mess.
He's funny. I like it.
Okay. Oh, odious, Pee-wee German, Stephen Miller. Said, if you were an American falsely accused of wrongdoing on January 6th, it wasn't merely difficult to get due process.
No.
It was impossible.
No.
The entire system was rigged against you.
No.
All of it. Those persecuted Americans could only dream of the due process afforded illegal aliens.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
what
my
a lie.
Our friend Joyce Vance. among others, she said, not to state the obvious, but none of them were sent to a terrorist prison in El Salvador. They all had lawyers, indictment by a grand jury, a trial or a guilty plea where a judge ensured it was knowing and voluntary, and access to an appeals process. In other words, all the hallmarks of due process. They're so...
lying.
Yes, and they know it. Mm-hmm. They know that that's completely ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Okay. And one last one, attorney. Oh, but speaking of which, this is where we are. Eric says, Speaker Mike Johnson says Congress can eliminate federal courts and will act accordingly if they continue to challenge Trump. I mean, oh my God. This is just a completely lawless party, not mm-hmm. just president and mm-hmm. administration. They just, they're literally making up. What's, oh, you, what is it?
I have the audio. It's on your
screen. Oh, yeah. I didn't know. Thank you.
We do have authority over the federal courts, as you know. We can eliminate an entire district court. We have power funding over the courts and all these other things. But desperate times call for desperate measures, and Congress is going to act.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I do remember that now. Thanks. this are the information bubbles we're in. This was Maxwell Frost on Fox News.
Right.
Because they make it sound like if people didn't hear it, first of all, Trump has very clearly said more than once he wants to send Americans to.
Exactly. Yes,
he
has.
And okay, so here we go.
Why, Congressman, are you in El Salvador? You are there for an El Salvadorian man who was a resident illegally of Maryland. You're a congressman from Florida. Why are you in El Salvador?
It's about the fact that in the Oval Office, Donald Trump brought up that he wants to do the same thing to quote unquote homegrowns. Homegrowns being U.S. citizens.
I want to dig in on that point. Donald Trump's made a statement about wanting to deport American citizens.
Yes.
Do you have that in front of you? I've not seen that statement. Can you please quote where that comes from, that he would like to deport American citizens?
There is a clip online. I encourage people to just Google Donald Trump homegrown.
Right.
It is something he said in the Oval Office.
On camera.
We are in search of that clip as we speak. So as you and I have
they
this conversation
in
the next 7 minutes, we'll be looking for that clip.
His producers did search for it, and they played it at the end of his show.
Good. I'm glad.
I mean, but that's what that's yep. how you thank you, Maxwell Frost.
Yes.
That's the point to go on Fox News to try
exactly.
to pierce that information mm-hmm. bubble, because people that watch Fox are like,
have
what?
No idea.
He would never deport Americans. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Could you prepare? I don't know. You can. We tried to warn you. F around. Leopards. Whatever. You know what, DJ? You pick yours. Attorney Ryan said, imagine being one of the goobers who voted for him because, quote, he's good for the economy. Like, holy, mm-hmm. no one has ever been more wrong about anything in the history of being wrong.
I never yeah. thought we'd be bonded over bigotry, but they weren't supposed to turn on me. No, I never thought
the lepers would eat my face.
Okay, thank you very much. Hey, Charlie Pierce and Stephen Beschloss all
yeah.
on the Big Tuesday show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God.
What are you doing with your
carpet?
What is that?
So I'm scratching.
They only talk.
That's not her.
Stephanie Miller.
Because she looks like a total prostitute.
I like big butts and I cannot lie.
I used to work for a very famous gay DJ, so I know how that works.
It's me scratching. Okay. Was like, oh my God.
Don't do that.
Do I put a pencil in
don't
their
tongue? Do
what do I do?
Don't no, do don't, that. Don't
what do
that.
I do when I'm boomer?
Here, bite on my wallet.
Don't do that ever again.
That's funny. Okay. Michael in Oakland, our pro boner. Hi, Mike.
Hi, I resemble that remark.
Yes.
So now, Trump tanked the market yesterday by saying that he wants Powell to lower interest rates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At the same time that tariffs are reducing supply and artificially increasing prices. That is literally pouring jet fuel on inflation.
Yep.
But because of the tariffs and the supply problems, manufacturers are laying people off by the thousands, Mack mm-hmm. trucks, Stellantis, on and on. That means, excuse me, that you have unemployment going along with inflation. That's called stagflation.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Jimmy Carter disaster of the late 70s, and we're square in the middle of it now. Just wait until the next reports come out.
I know, and I hadn't heard that in like years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a deer getting an erection. I wasn't certain, but it is not. It's what he just said.
Huh.
Also, You know what I thought was important? We played Chris Van Hollen off the top, and Glenn Kirshner just said this yesterday, Jody. The courts are the proper forum. This is what he said for discussing Mr. Garcia. So the courts have said there is no evidence linking him to MS-13. So all these things they keep saying, they won't say it in a court of law.
They need to do
TV.
It under oath.
He just retweeted the fake picture of Garcia's hand with MS-13 written on it.
I've seen pictures of the man has no tattoos on his hands.
Right.
But I mean, it's just, again, like Glenn said, this is what happens. You can go Oval Office, Fox News, whatever. They just keep making up like new about him. Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. And
Anyway, that's what I'm saying is when they're in a court of law, there's none of this stuff they're saying have they said in a court of law where facts actually matter and you have to actually have evidence. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, Charlie Pierce next.
Embassy, the Trump administration is doing nothing right now to comply with that court order. What they're doing is trying to change the subject, as if you can't comply with the Constitution and fight gang violence. I've been fighting MS-13 longer than Donald Trump probably ever uttered the words.
Yeah. Thank you, Senator Chris Van Hollen.
Wow, did you see Trump said we can't give everyone a trial?
Yeah. That was in the Constitution, wasn't it? Yeah, we can't get, because he said it would take, what did he say? 11 billion years? Oh, he said, we can't give everyone a trial, because to do so would take, without exaggeration, 200 years.
What?
Yeah, that's not an exaggeration. You can't give everyone. The founders didn't meet everyone. Okay, you know who might have some thoughts on this?
Yeah. There's only one man now that understands, and that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Oh, hey, hi, Charlie.
Hello, Mama. Good morning, Jody Hamilton.
Good morning, Charlie Pierce.
Ooh.
At least he's not.
Hi, Bella.
At least he's not hitting on the baby yet. Okay.
Bella's not feeling well.
I'm worried because Bella keeps having to like patch up the hamster on the wheel to keep the show going.
Yes, she does. Chris, it's mainly Chris, but I'm just the helping hand. He's like, put that in, put that in.
I think it's time to get a new hamster myself.
Yes. We're in the process of it.
It's chaos in here. All right, Charlie, so yeah, the Supreme Court is radical left now, according to Trump. He condemned the U.S. Supreme Court's decision to lock his administration's use of an 18th century law to deport immigrants. He said the justices caved to the radical left. He praised Alito, who we love Alito, don't we? He said, I'm doing what I was elected to do, remove criminals from our country, but the courts don't seem to want me to do that. Hold on. The courts are intimidated by the radical left who are playing the ref. We cannot give everyone a trial. And then he ended with Make America Great. Uh-huh. We can't give everyone a trial. The founders didn't meet everyone, Charlie.
Yeah, because he's playing to like arrest everybody. So we can't give everybody a trial.
I mean,
we're all going to El Salvador.
And meanwhile, I mean, oh my God, this Hegseth story. If you read the latest, Charlie,
the last I heard, because it got obliterated by Christy Noem's Adventures in Street Crime.
Okay, I do just want to know who
walks around
three large
with three grand in their pocket.
Yeah, I don't know. Apparently the Homeland Security director who can't secure her own purse. Right. Okay.
Also, this guy got her like DHS access card.
Yes. Yes.
Now, I'm assuming that this guy just took the $3,000 and threw that other stuff away, but
yeah,
who knows?
Yeah. It's too hilarious. You cannot write these headlines every day. So minutes before, now you tell me if this sounds classified, Charlie. This is the latest reporting. from NBC. Minutes before U.S. fighter jets took off to begin strikes against Iranian-backed Houthi rebels in Yemen last month, the Army general who leads U.S. Central Command sent a secure U.S. government system to used a secure U.S. government system to send detailed information about the operation to Hegseth. The material he sent included details about when U.S. fighters would take off, when they would hit their targets, details that could, if fell into the wrong hands, no kidding, put the pilots of those fighters in grave danger. But he was doing exactly what he was supposed to do, providing Hegseth, his superior, with information he needed to know, using a system specifically designed to safely transmit sensitive classified information. Then Hegseth used his personal phone to send the same information to at least two group text chats on the Signal app. The sequence of events has not been previously reported. It was less than 10 minutes to lapse between him giving Hegseth the information and Hegseth sending it to How is this guy?
Right.
How are there people still defending him? Or this guy is
and
not gone?
And Malcolm Nance cracks open another fifth of bourbon. Unbelievable. Seriously. I mean, I don't care if the stuff was actually classified.
Yeah.
It's just a dumb thing to do.
Well, how is it not classified about active
war
plans?
I mean, the classification system is so banjacked at this point.
Yeah.
That I don't know what's classified and what isn't. But you still can't reveal troop movements.
Right. Well, I was just going to say, that's another scandal in itself, if that's not classified, Charlie. Like, here's when our fighter jet is going to hit X target at what time, and they're already in the air. I mean, you know. So, let's see. They warned... an aide warned him in the days beforehand to be careful not to share sensitive information on unsecure communication system before the Yemen strikes. And here we are, the chief Pentagon spokesperson, by the way, not the one that just quit and wrote the op-ed.
Right.
This is the next one, said no classified material was ever shared via Signal. This is an attempt to sabotage President Trump and Secretary Hegseth. I mean, and Trump yesterday, Pete's doing a great job. Everybody's so happy with him. There's no dysfunction. I mean,
God, I hope it's an attempt to sabotage them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, somebody has to. It's preposterous at this point. This is what happens when you hire off out of the Fox News green room.
Yeah, Charlie, how are you dealing with this as a journalist? Because we saw a graph saying this is the worst stock market day since the Great Depression. Mm-hmm. I think yesterday, mm-hmm. another plane was on fire. This Signal chat thing. I mean. And
J.D. Vance killed the Pope.
And J.D. Vance obviously killed the Pope, which I said first. We were on first yesterday, Charlie. I was the first one that said it.
That's right. That exclusive to the Stephanie Miller
That's
show.
Right.
That's right.
Must credit the Stephanie Miller show.
I do love that his final papal act was bitch-slapping J.D. Vance.
Oh, if I didn't like the guy before, the idea that he left this earth having just, like, knocked J.D. Vance's, you know, convert ass around St. Peter's Basilica is just a great thing.
Charlie, you and I are, you know, Catholic school kids. Did you ever think you'd grow up in a world where Fox News and all these people on the right are bashing the Pope the day he dies? The party that claims Christianity.
Mm. Yeah, whatever you do, don't go to right-wing sites and read the comments today.
No.
It's an orgy of, like, bad religious thought.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no, we already talked about some of it. Marjorie Taylor Greene bashing. Yeah. Laura Loomer doing rainbow smoke coming out of the Vatican. Like, it just, I mean, that's the thing. You literally can get kicked out of Christianity for saying too many things that Jesus actually said. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's you can get you can get kicked out of Christianity now for caring about the climate crisis.
Right.
Right. Right. Which, oh, happy Earth Day, by the way.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. You too. Yes. You know. I just went out and congratulated every tree in my neighborhood.
You know, my friend who has kids your age.
And the Charles River, which is down the block.
My friends who have kids your age, Bella, always says to me, they don't want to have kids. Bella says the same thing, because they don't think the planet's going to be here, first of all, and they can't afford anything.
Yeah. Now, the planet will be here. We might not.
Oh, yeah. Shaking us off like bad fleas.
Like fleas, exactly. She doesn't want us anymore.
I mean, the bees will be building a lovely civilization by then.
They will, if they survive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Charlie, I don't know what to say anymore about the brand of Christianity on the right. I mean, it's just literally the day the Pope died. I mean, there were, you know, I, Chris, you were saying what they were saying on Fox and Friends.
Yeah.
I mean, it's gross. Just, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not like, you know, it's not like he died suddenly so they could, like, detect the hand of God in it. It's just happy he's dead.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyway.
You know, today's him is, you know, today's recessional him is, I'm glad you're dead, you rascal, you.
We covered this a little earlier, Charlie, but Elon Musk still has not publicly admitted his days as the White House chief hatchet man are numbered. But behind the scenes, he's apparently singing a different tune. He's ready to leave the Trump administration because he's, quote, grown weary of the attacks from the left.
Aww. I feel bad for him. I really do. I think he should get into a cyber truck and take a nice long drive or a nice short drive.
His swastika car.
Yeah. Swastika. No, I think he should drive it, you know, drive it until it, like, explodes.
Which shouldn't be too long.
It won't take long at
all. A rapid, unscheduled assembly, right, as they call it. So let's talk about, since you're there in Boston, eh? Harvard has sued the Trump administration in federal court over its multi-billion-dollar cuts to the university's research funding, accusing the White House of undertaking an arbitrary and unconstitutional campaign to punish Harvard for protecting its constitutional rights. I mean, most legal experts think Harvard's going to win this one, and I hope that sends a message to all the knee-benders.
I'm happy that Harvard is kicking back as hard as it is. God knows they've got the wherewithal to do it.
Yeah.
Because apparently now their donations have gone through the roof.
Huh. Right.
You know, then when they had a $700 billion endowment to start with.
Yeah.
But I don't understand why there hasn't been a class action suit by a bunch of different universities. I mean, you can ask one. Maybe you can ask Glenn on Friday whether or not that's possible.
Right.
But I would think that the Ivy League would get together and file a class action suit against the administration.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but it sounds like Harvard's courage has been contagious, right? Having other universities now. This is what I keep saying, you know, it's like.
Yeah. But I just read a piece that they're knuckling like tiny universities now, like the small Native American colleges in the Midwest and stuff now.
Right. Right.
But because, besides, it wasn't the whole Harvard thing a mistake.
Yes.
Yeah.
Didn't they say that? Well,
they
did. I'm sorry, I hit send. Yeah, mm-hmm. Sorry about that.
That's what I mean. Every single story is just rife with, you know, equal parts incompetence and or cruelty, fill in whatever else. So, by the way, speaking of legal stuff, so Trump took his attacks against wrongly deported Maryland resident Kilmer Garcia to a new level on Easter, as Jesus would do. Mm-hmm. Threatening to pursue legal action against those who don't follow his lead. He said those lying to the American people on behalf of violent criminals have to be held responsible by the agencies and the courts. What does that mean exactly?
I don't know, and neither does he.
He's going to prosecute people that report on... Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I thought, you know, I thought that he might have announced that he'd solved the Lindbergh baby kidnapping.
That's what I said. I said that. That's what's going to be today's, is that he took the Lindbergh baby. And this is what we keep saying. They're not saying any of this in a court of law, Charlie. Like, for instance, I was just this confidential informant they talk about that said he was in the part of the Westerns MS-13 gang. They operate out of Long Island, New York, a state that he's never been to or lived in. So it's just stuff like that that doesn't hold up in court, right?
Well, it's a miracle. It's a miracle of cyberspace. You could be part of a gang 1,000 miles away. No, you didn't say the Westies, did you? You said Western.
Westerns, I guess.
Because the Westies were in Manhattan, and it was years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like the Hooties.
Not the dogs, the Westies. No, they're cute. They're little white dogs. Anyway, Charlie...
Yes.
I don't know what is going to happen with this whole economy. Trump continued his rhetorical assault on Jerome Powell, the man appointed, by the way, to serve as the chairman of the Federal Reserve as the stock market continued its free fall yesterday. And again, we were saying at this point, every single thing Trump says is a lie. He tweeted, with energy costs way down, food prices, including Biden's egg disaster, substantially lower, most other things trending down, there's virtually no inflation, there can be a slowing of the economy unless Mr. Too Late, Powell, a major loser, lowers interest rates. I mean, I And again,
what did he call him again?
A major loser. Mr. Too Late, Powell.
Mr. Too Late, wasn't that a Sherelle song?
Yes, I think so.
I think you're right. Yes.
Better than Mr. Too Soon.
I'm not going to ask whether the guy understands it because he clearly doesn't. Jerome Powell can end his presidency in like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, because he can really do damage to the economy.
Yeah. Well, and we'll find out again because, as he said, he's not stepping down. It's not legally permissible. But, you know, that doesn't mean Donald Trump's not going to try it, right?
Yeah. The Doge people can show up and, like, you know, unlock the doors and stick gum in the keyhole and stuff and get him out of there. But he can't do anything about this. Powell's doing is telling the truth.
So, Charlie, you and I have been talking about this a long time. Haven't we always said that Karl Rove is right? Karl Rove has always
Absolutely.
Been right.
You
haven't we
I,
always said that?
You and I have been, we had such fun at Karl's parties.
we laughed.
Oh, man, the annual turd blossom ball.
He argued Americans were not ready for the chaos of the second Trump administration, arguing that Trump's missteps had led to a 10-point shift against him, which I think is true.
Yep.
He said many Americans are already exhausted by Trump and his thirst for revenge. He said in the non-MAGA world, which includes independents and Republicans, the start of Trump's second term has been exhausting. My point is there's a lot of stuff that's been going on. We're going to take Greenland by force if necessary. We're going to rename the Gulf of Mexico. We're going to take back the Panama Canal. There's a lot of stuff going on we were not prepared for, and the time devoted to it is time that's not being devoted to the things we need to know more about and celebrate the success. I'm not sure what success he's speaking of because he still has to be Karl Rove.
Well, he's Karl Rove is a big tariff guy. Yeah. He was the guy who wrote a book saying that it was that he originated the idea that the administration of William McKinley was the best administration the country ever had.
Yeah.
So I think that's what he's referring to. You know, I think the tariff thing is what he's referring to as success.
Yeah, I guess. But he basically said Americans are already exhausted. America gets Trump fatigue was the name of his. He said we aren't 100 days into Trump's second term and many Americans are already exhausted. They've had way too much thrown at them. I mean, I think you feel that, not just in the town halls, but certainly the polling and all of that. So,
yeah, I mean, but again, I advise mockery at all hands.
Yes.
I mean, yes.
Agreed.
I mean, how can you not mock Kristi Noem, you know, wandering around Washington.
I was the first.
Puppies.
I was the first one to tweet that the Homeland Security director can't secure her own purse.
Well, not just that, but she's wandering around the streets of Washington looking for puppies to kill.
Right.
She's got $3,000 and her access ID in her handbag.
Yeah.
But medication, which it's
not
she's
smart.
Obviously not taking.
It's not smart to walk around any urban environment with $3,000 in cash.
No,
it's not really smart to be wandering around the plains of Nebraska with $3,000.
Exactly.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, running way long.
By a bear, which eats the money.
Love you, Charlie.
Have you read the description of the video from this restaurant?
Yes, it was a white
this
guy.
Was not exactly Tom Cruise.
Exactly.
In the Mission Impossible movie.
All right, we're late. We're late, Charlie. We're late.
All right, we love you. Goodbye.
All right, we'll talk next week.
All right.
Okay. Thanks, Charlie.
Stephanie Miller.
Journalist Stephen Beschloss coming up. Christopher.
Yeah. What?
Who said Mr. Trump's campaign promise to break inflation has been replaced by a fixation on raising tariffs, which nearly three quarters of Americans expect to hike prices? We're also confused. Is the goal getting trading partners to lower their tariffs on U.S. goods and services or replacing our income tax with high tariffs on foreign goods? Who said that?
Chet, you betcha.
No, Karl Rove, who we have always said is correct, particularly about us being at war with East Asia.
Yes, we always have been.
Who said most of the president's revenge attempts will end badly for him? Republicans could rue the day they set a new justification for retaliation for Democrats. Who said that?
Castle Wolfenstein.
No. Turd Blossom, Carl Rove.
Oh, okay. Hmm.
Who has always been right?
What is happening?
Okay, Stephen Beschloss next.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I would say they were illegally abducted by U.S. government agents and then taken to foreign prisons against the law. And the reason why it's important to treat each of these cases individually under the law is because our Constitution requires due process before people can be deprived of their liberty.
Thank you, Senator Chris Van Hollen, hero of democracy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, speaking of which, there's another one.
What?
Look, there's one right there.
Okay.
He's the author of America, America.
Let's get happy, though, because guess who's here? Speaking of beloved, my show is sometimes referred to as me reading Stephen Beschloss's tweets on the air show.
It's the time.
Stephen Beschloss.
For our Stephen. Steve Beschloss. He's a worldly guy.
Writer of not just America, America, America.
Right.
It's that time for our Stephen S.
How about that?
You know what? It does bear repeating. America, America. It bears repeating during these perilous times.
It's so many things. So many, you know, there's still a few good things and so many bad things these days.
Were you a fan of Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman? Is that where that came from?
You know, maybe particularly that moment when somebody fell asleep and fell into a bowl of soup and died. Yeah, exactly.
That's where America is.
Yes.
I mean, I just every day, Steve, I don't even know which thing as a journalist you pick to talk about, but I was struck yesterday by Trump saying, well, we can't give everybody trials. Like how fast are the founding fathers spinning, right?
Yeah, well, there's an awful lot of judges that are still believing in the rule of law and due process that has a reason to hold on to a little bit of optimism.
And the lying. So what do we call her now? BS Barbie, Baghdad Barbie,
yep.
Caroline Leavitt. Here she is yesterday on this. Here we go.
He is an illegal alien, a foreign terrorist, and a criminal MS-13 gang member who violated our country's laws by coming here in the first place. And shame on Senator Chris Van Hollen and the entire Democrat Party, who wasted Easter Sunday going on every television show in the country to advocate for the return of an illegal criminal gang member.
They've changed their story. She said yesterday on Fox and Friends, we did not make a mistake. We've always maintained this was an individual who needed to be deported. I mean, we have always been at war with East Asia, as I keep joking. It's like, no, the Trump administration admitted in court, where all of this belongs, that they made a mistake, that he mistakenly was deported. So now, of course, as I say, he's done everything from, you know, kill the Menendez parents to kidnap the Lindbergh baby. I mean, it's just, and they keep making up stuff that they don't say in court, Stephen, right?
Yeah, well, look, Caroline Leavitt will say anything. We were already clear about that, and most of it is lies. And she does it, you know, she does it with such ease, so comfortably, which should be shocking to everyone's, you know, sense of decency. But the thing about that is she tells us that he's a terrorist. Trump tells us that he's a terrorist. He shows this fabricated photograph, you know, on his Truth Social, where they obviously photoshopped in MS-13, and they give us this stuff and think that we're supposed to treat this as if it's evidence, as if, you know, the courts are no longer a relevant part of how we come to understand, you know, the difference between innocence and guilt.
And so now they're saying, oh, well, the Justice Department lawyer who admitted it was a mistake is fired. So everybody, you only get fired for telling the truth in the Trump administration. Yeah. But the other thing is, again, because in a court of law, he couldn't lie. So that's the problem. Chris Van Hollen, real quick. He made this point.
I know what he's said many times in court, and that's the proper forum for debating this. And as we know, the federal district court judge in this case said, and I brought it with me again, and I'm going to read it. No evidence linking Abrego Garcia to MS-13 or to any terrorist activity, period.
Yeah. And thank God, I think it was Caitlin Collins said that on CNN, right, to Tom Holman. He said, I hear what you say on TV, but you haven't said any of this in court.
Right.
Where you have to prove it, right?
Yeah, and look, the thing about Van Hollen, I think he was very clear on the Sunday shows. You know, he's not there to vouch for Abrego Garcia. He's there to say that the rule of law matters, due process matters, and in America, those constitutional rights, those civil liberties are for everyone, not just who we like or who we don't like.
Right.
You know, that can just be ignored and you know, kidnapped and taken out of the country.
Yeah.
So I think he really stood up for, you know, the fact that we're facing right now, which is, you know, Abrego Garcia is only one of, it looks like, many, many of those that were kidnapped and taken to El Salvador who may have had, you know, absolutely no criminal activity. But the, you know, they're just a stand in for all of us. Because yeah. I think the, you know, and it's been said not just by Van Hollen, it's been said by, you know, a Reagan appointed judge, you know, once you let this fall, once you no longer treat the due process with the same seriousness, it's only one step from somebody like Abrego Garcia to every American in danger.
Yep. I thought of you, yeah, the great piece you wrote on America, America,
uh-huh.
Your Substack. Because, you know, we've been joking about, for the first time ever, the Easter egg roll had sponsors. Like, and I said, just like Jesus would do, right?
Yeah.
I think he asked on the cross who was sponsoring the crucifixion. But anyway, you just said the dead end of capitulation is your piece. The more rich and powerful feed Trump's malignant wants, the more he demands this must stop, replaced by defiant solidarity. Hear, hear. I mean, a lot of the people, the sponsors yesterday, Stephen, people that are under investigation that want to, I mean, and that's all you have to do. Give money to something, suck up to Trump, and, you know, yeah. Bam. He either kills the investigation into you or you know, whatever. But you said, I'll never get over the sickening sight on Inauguration Day as the billionaires stood behind Donald Trump, falsely mouthing his oath to protect and defend the Constitution. There was Bezos of Amazon, Zuckerberg of Meta, Tim Cook of Apple, Google. Maybe they believe their kowtowing in advance would ensure the security of their fortunes and the well-being of their companies. And you said how little they knew, how profoundly they underestimated the reality of this malignant immunized man whose narcissistic delusion about his own gifts and the depth of his grievances know no bounds. Did they not hear him when he said, I am your retribution? Did they think they could escape his malignant whims? Did they not grasp that he meant it when he imagined his own brilliance ignoring virtually every economist said? I mean, that's what they're saying, Stephen, is that now these people and Republic, they're going to start, because he is crashing the economy in real
right.
time. So,
right. Right. And look, you know, my view is, I mean, we are suffering from, you know, first I said a failure of imagination. Now I would say a crisis of imagination. We're suffering from the extreme reality of a normalcy bias, which is that we refuse to accept that the threat is as significant and serious as it is, that there are far too many Americans that refuse to grasp the potential and impending disaster that this administration and Trump represents.
Yeah, and Stephen, what frustrates me is, you know, people say, like, well, I don't know if really people thought, like, they really were going to do, like, Project 2025. Kamala Harris made it a centerpiece of her campaign. She said over and over, can you believe they wrote this stuff down? So the fact, like you said, we're suffering from far too many people refusing to believe that we could be where we are now. We're at risk of losing everything we hold dear to a tyrant determined to feast on the ruins of public liberty. The hour is late, but it's not too late to fight back and give this regime a proverbial punch in the face. I mean, it kills me, because I'm going to every economist warned
right.
about this, that this was going to
right.
happen.
Right. That, you know, what the danger of the tariffs would be. And look, you know, at this point, I think they're grasping that it's not just, you know, the so-called tariff policy, which is just the whims and the grievances of Trump. It's also that there's so much chaos and conflict and uncertainty. And, you know, nobody can make decisions when you're in that level of uncertainty. And I think, frankly, I think we're in some ways, you know, benefiting from the fact the stock market is not even worse because of the normalcy bias, because people still believe like, well, okay, this is going to settle down and we'll be okay. But I don't honestly believe that it's going to settle down. And that's why, you know, I think there's a reason to be asking, you know, our Democratic elected officials and everybody who still cares about the America that we know and love, and everybody who's still, you know, committed to trying to get to that better place, to recognize the fact that we're in an emergency.
Well, and Stephen, every single story, it just, you know, that they're saying behind closed doors the exact same thing we're saying. This is just a blistering level of incompetence, whether it's in chaos, whether it's the tariffs, whether it's the Homeland Security director not being able to secure her own purse, whether it's this Pete Hegseth. Yeah. I mean, Trump defended Hegseth yesterday. Obviously, there's been reports that they're going to replace him. Trump said, Pete's doing a great job. Just ask the Houthis how he's doing. Which I just, I don't, you know, he thinks they bombed the blowfish in Yemen. But he said, it's just fake news. They bring up stories. It sounds like disgruntled employees. Yes, the guy was like one of his best friends that was the Pentagon spokesperson. It's not an anonymous source. He wrote an op-ed about the chaos and said there's more bombshells to drop, which they did today, right?
You know, look, we were told that the people who surrounded Trump during the first term were the ones who helped to create a buffer between America and catastrophe. And you know, those people are gone. Now he's surrounded by, you know, miscreants and sycophants, people who will do whatever he wants, who will not say no to him. And we're seeing the consequences of this guy, this immunized guy, being able to act totally day to day on the basis of his whims and his reckless desire to wreak havoc and retribution.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this is where we are. And, you know, I mean, that honestly, that puts the pressure on all of us to respond. You know, we are the guardrails.
And can I ask, why does it seem like there's one guy in the Republican Party, this Don Bacon? That's because they could stop this anytime. The tariffs, the crashing, the economy, you know, obviously disappearing people without due process. Bacon said, I had concerns from the get-go because Pete Hegseth didn't have a lot of experience. I like him on Fox, but does he have the experience to lead one of the largest organizations in the world? That's a concern. If it's true, he had another signal chat with his family about the missions against the Houthis. It's totally unacceptable. I'm not in the White House, but I'm not going to tell the White House how to manage this, but I find it unacceptable. I wouldn't tolerate it if I was in charge. They said Russia and China put up thousands of people to monitor all these phone calls at the very top. The number one target besides the president would be the Secretary of Defense. Russia and China are all over his phone. For him to be putting secret stuff on his phone's not right. He's acting like he's above the law. That shows an amateur person. So he's a retired Air Force general.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he understands how pilots feel that Pete Hegseth told what their flight path was and where they were going to be when on a public app, right?
How many people he's putting in danger, how many people Trump is letting put in danger because, you know, Pete Hegseth, you know, was central casting. He looks like the kind of guy he wants. He looks like he's tough, you know, without actually having any of the substance that's needed to actually run a department of that scale and that gravity.
But I mean, one guy in the Republican Party speaking out about our national security.
I mean, you know, it's a lack of seriousness. It's a spinelessness. And I, you know, I've been lingering on, you know, Alaska's Lisa Murkowski saying we're all afraid. I mean, okay, I get it. You're worried about the MAGA crowd and the death threats and people coming after you. I get it. But if you're in that position and you're letting yourself be intimidated and riddled by fear, you don't belong there.
That's right. Yep, that's right. Did you hear the rumor that Trump is saying telling the Vatican they should pick a new pope from the Fox and Friends cast? Because I heard that. I don't know. Clearly they should.
Uh-huh. There must be some excellent choices.
Oh, of course.
I mean, he owes it to them. J.D. Vance killed the pope. I mean, seriously. You know.
How about Ray Fiennes?
You know, isn't it time for our first blonde pope?
Yes!
All right. I don't know why. That's funny. Okay, go read his Substack. It's fantastic.
Yes.
America, America is the Substack. Stephen Beschloss is the man. Love you, honey. See you next time.
My pleasure. Always great to see you. Thanks.
All right,
you
too.
Stephanie Miller.
Tony Hamilton, we mentioned this yesterday, but Ted Cruz might be plotting a 2028 White House.
Please. Please.
Wow. Is this party? This is it? This is all the ideas you have. So by calling out tariffs as taxes on American consumers and sticking to his view that Russia poses a serious threat to U.S. interests, Cruz may be laying the groundwork to run against Trump's heir apparent, J.D. Vance. Wow. Who is more vomitous and odious? Who? Ken S. Moss.
So he's JD moderating Vance, his stance?
I can't think of two more sounds vomitous. Like I think he's carving out a position for himself as a defender of traditional conservatism. Well, let's compare and contrast. J.D. Vance just killed the Pope.
Yep.
And Ted Cruz's father killed JFK.
Yeah.
So right there, there's, you know, checklist, pluses and minuses.
I'm not sure we could say either one allegedly. Of those with a...
Allegedly.
It seems as if it could happen.
Oh my God. If that's like the most appealing people they have in their party.
Snarf.
Snarf. Okay, Jan in Ohio, you're on with Jody on the show.
Jan.
Hi, Jan. Jan.
Marsha took over.
Yeah, Marsha.
Let's go to Marie in Atlanta. Hello, Marie.
Good morning. Thanks Hello. For taking my call.
Yes.
So regarding Kristi Noem's $3,000 in cash in her handbag.
Yes.
You know, I mean, let's remember now, it was supposedly shady that Fawny Willis had cash in her house.
Oh, so, I forgot about that.
If we want to take at face value that the cash that Fawny had was legitimate, then we kind of have to assume, unless we see something shady about Kristi.
And even her story shady, that it was for Easter gifts. Still, why would you
Easter
carry cash?
Meals. Yeah. Right.
Wasn't it the evening, well, too?
There's actually a potentially legitimate explanation for that. I hate to be defending Kristi Noem.
No,
good God,
no,
help.
No, no.
I'd
love to hear it.
But think about it. She's in government, and the risk that a credit card being used while she's with her family could be, she could be accused of spending government funds for non-government purposes. That could be why she had the cash.
Mm.
But there's an upside to this. She also lost her makeup kit in her
bag.
Yes.
So
that's
the
real tragedy.
Selfies are going to be epic. That's
that must have been the real panic. She was like, where's my makeup? All right. Thank you, honey. Let's go to Michael in North Carolina. Hello.
Hey, Mama. From
Hi.
One homegrown to another.
Thank you.
See you on the flight. I was wondering if you saw the story about Buford, the Anatolian Pyrenees five-year-old dog
yes.
in Arizona who rescued a toddler,
yes.
two-year-old boy.
Yeah, that's what they are. They're like rescue dogs. They're Pyrenean mountain dogs. Yeah. I know.
Controls this ranch, keeps coyotes at bay, intimidates mountain lions, and rescues
babies.
Lost toddlers.
Aww. Great parent. That's why they put the great in Pyrenees.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. 29 minutes after the hour, Stephanie Miller Show.
That's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Jody Hamilton's here.
Hi, Jody.
Just like she's on the Bob Seska Show every Tuesday and Thursday.
Yes.
You're going to be on today.
I am.
Fantastical. Speaking of fantastic women in broadcasting, I want to take a second to say my dear friend Randy Rhodes, I just heard last night that her last day on the radio is tomorrow.
Yep.
And you know, Chris, I've said this for years and years. She's the best broadcaster in America.
She's so
period.
Good.
She's I mean,
so
just
good.
Period. And I'm going to call her today because I just found this out, but it sounds like she has medical stuff going on. She didn't say exactly, but she's having a procedure Thursday that's going to apparently be a long recovery. And so she said tomorrow is her last day. And I am personally heartbroken. Like, she really is my hero. And she's, you know, just been my friend and, you know, our little Laverne Shirley of Progressive Radio, and it started. And I'm just, God, I just, if ever America needed her, And that and Rachel Maddow leaving after, right. You know, didn't remember. I mean, she'll still be there, but not every night. That's next week. Did you it's know 100 days already, is next
yeah.
week?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, can you please send some love and light yep. out to my friend Randy Rhodes? I don't know what the procedure is exactly that's happening this Thursday, but please give her some love and light and support. She is just the best, yeah. mm-hmm. and the best human. And by the way, there's a story.
And the best Hoa.
She is a Hoa. Yeah. She was the original Hoa.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
No one can time check that. Like
she
that
knows
lady.
How to bounce her boobies, too.
35 after.
Yeah.
Okay. She's probably going to do whatever the procedure is. She will do the time check right before she goes under.
Sure.
35 after. Don't kill me. Okay. Anyway, but yeah, you sent me this story about MAGA Mean Girls, mm-hmm. and I thought, that's the other thing, and Frangela and I talk about this all the time, and Aisha Tyler and I used to talk about it, that there really are. Bella knows this is all of our generations.
Yeah.
There's mean girls, and there's women that are supportive of other women, and, you know, Randy and I have always been so supportive of each other, you know, because it's obviously Frangela and I, Jody and I, so don't, in the world of mean girls, don't be a mean girl. Be a supportive girl of other girls is all I'm saying. Yeah, because I was saying, we were just talking about, and are they all, we found out the fun fact that Laura Loomer cannot get a gun because she just had a fight with, who's the other mean girl? Dana Loesch.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Dana can have a gun, Laura can't.
So they're both being mean to each other
yes.
on Twitter. And she's because she has a psychiatric.
Well, that's
something.
What, I mean, there are family fights going on online, and so I don't know exactly what is true and what is
right.
not.
And a lot of people have actually yeah. expressed concern for Nancy Mace because I don't know what is going on. She really seems to be unraveling in public. Like
it's weird.
She posted this video of her like provoking one of her own yeah. constituents uh-huh. and then screaming all these F-bombs at her, and I feel like my dad, among many other people, would roll over in their graves
sure.
about the behavior just in general of people in Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Marjorie Taylor Greene. I mean, but again, pretty much exclusively on the right, you
mm-hmm.
know, that are.
Your dad was in charge of the Republican Party.
Oh, my God.
He could have reined all this in.
Oh, for God's sakes. But yeah, this is MAGA Mean Girls are Trump's loyal foot soldiers. Because that's what I was saying, Jody. I don't get. Especially women our age, do you know what I mean? That are
hey,
supporting
don't put
him.
Me in your category, young lady.
In our general au revoir.
There's a different number at the beginning of both of your
yes, there is.
Ages.
Well, no, we talked to Bella about, I don't know how girls, Yuri, I don't know how, first of all, I don't know how any woman supports Trump.
I don't either.
You know,
yeah, and, that will never make sense
yeah.
to me.
But you were saying it's part of that whole, you know, manosphere, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems to be.
I'm just a girl. I turn my brain off when I'm with men.
Oh,
it's
God,
like,
how is that still happening in 2020?
Because of their mothers and their aunts and their grandmothers.
In the gay world, there's a himbo trend going on where people just want to turn off their brains and just follow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that what
yes.
kind of what
yes.
trad life is? Yeah. There's a.
It's some weird, but it's happening where
yeah.
like even. I don't know, other people who don't necessarily identify. There's this tweet that's going around.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I feel the need to bring this up.
All right.
And it's a picture of Ashley Tisdale. That's irrelevant. It's just, you know, she was blonde
yeah.
at the time,
yeah.
like holding up a peace sign,
uh-huh.
you know, whatever. And the caption of the tweet is, when I don't know what a tariff is, how I'm feeling because I don't know what a tariff is. And it's like, and all the comments are like, girl, you're going to, I'm just a girl yourself to the
yeah.
right.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Don't.
Yeah.
That's not cute.
Right.
It's not cute. It's
well,
not funny.
Because, Jody, originally, how did we get a rapist in the Oval Office? And I don't have to say allegedly.
No, he's an adjudicated rapist.
Thank you. Like, right? Just the seat grabbing alone, you would think.
You'd
but,
think.
Yeah. But anyway, what do we need? Bad Girls? How about Bad Girls? Do you even know what that is? Who sings Bad Girls?
Donna Summer.
Donna Summer. That's what all the kids are
oh.
listening to now. I feel like we could use that.
I think so.
Donna hasn't been with us for a while.
She's been
now.
She has in the heavens for
us.
A while.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. She presumably is still a bad girl. Toot toot. Beep beep.
Yeah. Beep beep.
She also changed everything about her right before she passed away.
Oh, dear.
She was no longer a bad girl.
Toot toot.
Yeah.
Beep beep. Beep. She's in her okay boomer. Okay. Yeah, this is in The Hill. His squad of four powerful female enablers mirrors his cocky, bullying leadership style of never backing down, never admitting mistakes. These are not attractive qualities.
No.
Somebody did The Horrors of Babylon.
That's funny.
You can keep it going. Why not? The ladies are always camera ready for their frequent Fox News and social media appearances. They have the MAGA look, long hair, perfect makeup, stylish wardrobe. Pam Bondi, you're up first. She is 59 years old. She actively supported Trump's false claims of victory in the 2020 election. This is like a right-wing pageant, isn't it?
It is.
She is turned the Department of Justice into Trump's weapon of mass retribution. She mirrors Trump's fight persona, denigrating judges, attacking the president's enemies. Kristi Noem, come on down, bring your purse.
Age 50, and all that money.
Age 53.
Is she that old?
Noem is best known for her time in front of the camera. She keeps America safe with heavy stage makeup and false eyelashes.
This is Dating Game.
It's a dating game introduction.
The president hired Noem to be the beautiful, mean girl face for self-deportation. White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt, age 27. Come on down.
Hey, girl. Hey. She's 27?
Yeah, she's 27. Yeah.
Displaying prideful mean girl confidence well beyond her years, Leavitt disseminates whatever the White House Department of Propaganda has prepared, likely from the all-powerful Stephen Miller. Comically, Leavitt is the Trump administration's version of Baghdad Bob. I said that. Uh-huh. I named her Baghdad Barbie. Boldly declaring alternative facts to fit the narrative or crisis du jour. Oh, she's the young Kellyanne Conway. Oh,
I thought she was in her 30s. I could have sworn she was like 30. Oh,
no. She's a baby.
No, you're thinking of her husband, who's 11 billion years older.
Oh, right.
Not saying. And then finally, Laura Loomer, age 31.
That's a hard 31.
Oof. That's ridden hard and put up wet.
Uh-huh. Oof.
Right-wing conspiracy theorist, rabble-rouser, attention speaker, seeker, two-time
Non-gun owner.
Can't own a gun.
In a fragile mental state, apparently. Two-time failed congressional candidate. Is that feminism, Jody, that he has, like, they're just as mean of bullies as the men?
Well, they're working outside the house, so that's something.
Being mean bullies?
For now.
Sure. I mean...
Priest. All right.
Not defending them, but at least they're not in the kitchen.
Okay, this is how this has been allowed to happen. Bella brought this to our attention.
Uh-huh.
LA's newest gambling event, live sperm racing.
Yeah.
Are we just fully in the patriarchy? What is happening?
Yeah. Wait, what?
Yeah.
A fertility startup raised $1.5 million to stage the event at the Hollywood Palladium in Los Angeles this month.
Yep.
Parking's terrible there, so I wouldn't have gone anyway.
Take an Uber.
Two students from rival university, USC and UCLA.
Uh-oh.
Oh, go Trojans.
Bruins.
Go Trojans.
Bruins.
They were found to have matching biomarkers and were selected to take part. Once the samples
are calling biomarkers?
They're like similar build, like of similar health, similar weight.
Got it.
Like biologically, they are similar.
And so conceivably their sperm would swim.
Yes.
Similar. I'm going to need some Chariots of Fire music for this. Okay. Yeah, apparently it's because male fertility is declining. Did you know this? A lot.
Yes.
It's happening quietly, steadily. Nobody's really talking about it. And sperm motility, how fast your sperm moves, turns out to be a massive factor in fertility. Do you have slow sperm? Do you have logy sperm, Chris?
I haven't checked the speed of my sperm.
Let's do it on the show.
We're not doing
All right, once these samples are taken, they will be placed in a pipette. I had a winemaking kit once with a pipette and injected into a microfluid device in the center of the Palladium, a famed concert venue. A live video feed magnified 40 times to display the spermatoza will track the sample's progress. Isn't this like everything you always want to know about sex? Remember Woody Allen is dressed like a sperm? Mm-hmm.
That was funny.
Sperm typically swim at about 5 millimeters per minute. I don't know how fast that is.
It's pretty fast, considering how small they are.
Meaning each race will take at least 40 minutes.
that's
a long time.
Okay.
Well, it's got a ways to travel.
Are there different heats?
It's got a ways to travel.
Wow. Whichever crosses the finish line first, as the verified advanced imaging will be declared the winner. The event will be run over 3 races in front of a crowd of 4,000 spectators and feature play-by-play commentary, instant replays, and leaderboards.
Oh, Howard Cosell should be here for that.
Yeah.
Down goes Frazier. Down.
But it's kind of feminist because you know, like, usually infertility is blamed on women. Okay. So it's all raising awareness that, hey, men, if you are inside all day playing video games, drinking Mountain Dew, and eating pizza, your sperm's probably not going to be
Your sperm's
great.
Lazy. Your sperm's lazy, too.
It happened in The Handmaid's Tale with Fred.
Your sperm's playing video games,
too. Sperm's going to play Minecraft all day.
Okay, well, let's not bring Minecraft. That will forever hold a place in my heart. Minecraft.
All right, that sperm story brought to you by Baby Z.
Yeah.
Bella with a Z.
That's the best story we read all day.
Minutes after the hour, Jody Hamilton is here. Don't forget, Saturday's the big show.
Yes.
The Not the White House Correspondents' Dinner. It's going to be featuring all of the sexy liberals and literally all of our beloveds, pretty much all our regulars and semi-regulars, whatevs. You can go to stephaniemiller.com and click on the link there to get your tickets. Mm-hmm. It's going to be fantastic. Speaking of entertainment, Jody, we mentioned, by the way, what happens on Palm Royale next season?
I don't do that.
Just kidding.
I'm a good girl. I don't have signal either.
We were talking about Home Alone 2. Director Chris Columbus admitted Trump's cameo in his movie has become a curse and an albatross. He literally ruins everything.
He does.
Trump claimed the filmmakers begged him to be in the film, while Columbus has maintained the Trump cameo was in exchange for using the plaza.
Yeah.
He has to literally lie about everything. Uh-huh. Every story is a sir. Oh, they begged me. Sir, please. It has become this curse, Columbus said. It's become the thing I wish was not there. What's going through this guy's mind? He said I was lying. I'm not lying. He said I begged him to be in the movie, but there's no world in which I would ever beg a non-actor to be in a movie.
Right.
But we were desperate to get the plaza.
Yeah, and it's very expensive to rent out that lobby.
Yeah. He said, if I cut it, I'll probably be sent out of the country. I'll be considered sort of not fit to live in the United States, so I'll have to go back to Italy or something. I mean, people keep joking about getting disappeared, but it really is... like, you know, scary, because he said like he literally would cut it out of the movie, because I find now in old stuff when I'm watching, if he shows up or his name or they met, I just like go right.
And Sex in the City, there's a part where Samantha they're talking about another guy and they're like, oh, he's like a young or like an old Donald Trump.
I know. Any references makes me
bleh.
All right. So Elizabeth or Beth says, Steph, first of all, love your show. Most importantly, you are always right and Chris is always wrong. Well, that ensured this would get read, obviously.
Obviously.
Well,
yes.
I mean,
now that we have the important part out of the way. Thank you, Beth.
The part that gets you read on the air.
That's correct. Uh-huh. That or mommy's pretty. Okay. I wanted to share my thoughts about David Hogg wanting to primary safe but ineffective congressional Democrats. I don't think he's intending to be ageist by stating we need to replace people with younger members. I think what he, except that in its core is ageist.
Right.
If he hadn't said younger,
just new,
more effective,
different,
right.
Different,
yeah.
You know,
I think what he means is that anyone who's operating like this is business as usual and probably has been there too long and has the status quo too ingrained in them. They're clinging too hard to the norms, which they are accustomed to, with ties too strong with lobbyists and donors. Things need to be shaken up. As a Gen Xer, I wholeheartedly support this initiative. We need people willing to fight and know how to message people like AOC that cannot be bought. Keep up the good work, you hero. Oh, I may. Thank you, Beth. I appreciate your thoughts. That's just fun. I don't know why. You know what started when we did Jets? That's the best way to do it, Mr. Spacely.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Defending our nation from the clutches of fascist idiocracy, we proudly present Heroes of Democracy.
Okay. But you know what I'm saying, Jody? Like, I would, you know what, for instance, I would say is Nancy Pelosi.
Yes.
I would think she was smart to pass the baton to the next generation, which she already did. But I don't think you want to primary Nancy Pelosi. I mean, I don't think you want to give up her experience. Maxine Waters, who is a fighter, you know.
Right.
I just think it doesn't have to do with age. Look at Bernie. I mean, it's
I don't know if David Hogg is behind the primarying of Jan Schakowsky, but Congresswoman Schakowsky is getting primaried by a much younger person.
Oh. Now you're coming for a friend of the Stephanie Miller Show.
I think she's still very effective.
You know what?
I do too.
What?
I think she's still very effective.
She's absolutely. Yeah. She's always been a fighter. That's what I mean. Right. I don't think it has to do with age.
I mean, anybody can primary anybody. So.
Exactly. Yeah. And the person who's primarying Schakowsky is a young influencer who has a very large following on TikTok and all that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Poli sci major. I mean, what is this person besides an influencer?
I think she worked on a few campaigns.
Is she a life coach? Just kidding. No, it's your favorite job.
She worked on a few campaigns.
Okay. No, I don't. We don't mean to denigrate anybody. No. I mean, we need all the voices we can get. We want to be a big tent. What I don't like, Jody, is just that this adds to the Democrats in disarray. You know, Ken Martin, who's the new DNC chair, was asked, and he said, yes, he did give him a heads up, but he doesn't agree with it, obviously. You can't have the head of the Democratic Party saying, yeah, we're going to primary a bunch of people, right. You know. So I understand that. I agree with the spirit of what David is doing, but I don't want this to end, be the same thing now as, the circular firing squad after the election. Of course you do, because I'm always right. And you're pretty.
Oh, the woman who's primarying Schakowsky is a former, former staffer for Media Matters.
Okay. Right. Sue in Rockville, you're on with Jody on the show.
Hi, everybody. Great show today.
Thank
Big
you.
Love and hugs to Randy Rhodes.
Yeah.
Very quickly. In 2016, my late great friend, the fierce warrior Jessica Spruill, Stockley Spruill, and I wrote a post proving that Ted Cruz is ineligible to run for president. His parents were on the Canadian voting rolls in 1970, and she, in order to do that, she had to give up her U.S. citizenship because joint citizenship was not allowed before 1976. Cruz was born in 1970. Both his parents
He's
were
younger
Canadian
than I
citizens.
Am?
He was born in Canada. He is ineligible to run.
All right. And now J.D. Vance, all we need to say is J.D. Vance, he killed the Pope. Done.
Allegedly.
Okay. Follow Jody Hamilton on all the socials. Listen to her on the Bob Seska Show. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.